go ahead on and just call this meeting to order. Before we bring remarks by Mayor Tony Schiavone, let me first thank my fellow mayors for giving me the opportunity to serve as the chairman of this august body, even though I wasn't in attendance at the meeting when you gave me this great honor. So that's what I get for missing the meeting. But I want to thank you all for this opportunity. I look forward to us working together, and not only just as mayors, but our municipalities, and coming together to hopefully address the issues of our county and also of our region. And so without any further ado, I'd like to introduce the mayor of Fayetteville, Mayor Tony Schiavone.
Yay. Well, thank you, Chris, and congratulations. It's good to see everybody here. We've got a great turnout this morning, and I want to welcome you on behalf of the city of Fayetteville. And I know we've got a very interesting and full program. So I'd like to begin, if I could, by asking one of our elder city council spokespeople, Mr. Bill Crisp, to lead us in the case.
Bow with me, please, as we go to the throne of grace, invoking God's blessings. Eternal God, our Father, we come this morning selfishly asking for more. Lord, we ask for strength of mind and body and wisdom to contrive that all the things that we do will be for the betterment of our communities, and that all that we do will be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you showered upon us and for your tender mercy in lifting us up and allowing us to gather here this morning. But we are mindful of those who are infirm and those who are shut in. And we pray, O God, for mercy and grace upon them. Lift them up, Father. You know their names. They are on our hearts this morning. And Lord, we ask that you stop the wars and bring the children of America home to their loved ones. As we gather here this day, may all that we do prove fruitful for our citizens as well as for ourselves. These are the blessings we ask, O Lord, and all the children of God said, Amen. Amen.
Bill's complete CDs of sermons will be available. He does a great job helping keep it at council straight. Also, I can, while we can continue our breakfast this morning, I want to introduce Bruce Dawes. I think most of you know him, and Bruce is going to brief you on the transportation museum that we're in today. And at the same time, I ask Linda Barber, who really keeps the city straight for all of us, she's going to distribute for you one of our city's 250th anniversary coins that we just completed, as you know, this past summer.
Welcome everybody to the Transportation Museum Annex. The museum proper is located next door in the 1890 restored Cape Fear Yakin Valley Depot building. Many of you remember, it hasn't been that many years ago, when the front of that building was infilled with brick. The Fort Cachere was no longer identifiable. A wall span from one side of that depot connecting to the 1970s building. Another wall went back to the building behind us, the 1920s Cape Fear Studios. So it read as one building and looked rather dilapidated. The city, in its wisdom, purchased the city block, realizing that it would be important in downtown revitalization. Through a T21 grant from the Department of Transportation, we were able to first eliminate the walls that join the three buildings, bringing the depot to a standalone building, and restore it and upfit it as a transportation and local history museum. We had a grand opening in 2006. This building had served as a workshop for the restoration of all of the artifacts that were placed in the building next door. We next turned our attention with remaining funds from the T21 grant to bringing this building to a level of suitability to further tell Fayetteville, Cumberland County's local history story. One of the things that I'd like to just briefly discuss is the amount and extent of programming that this museum has, and it's effect, especially on students. And when I say students, we have a large number of students starting with preschool that come to this facility to receive very early basic education. We do a lot with the elementary schools. We do a lot with the high schools. We have some specialty programs, even within the humanities courses, taking students on architectural tours. We custom make tours for special groups. We work in collaboration with a number of agencies to include Fort Bragg to tell the joint Fayetteville-Fort Bragg story. We work closely with the Arts Council. In mid-March, we'll be unveiling a new exhibit next door on the contributions of the local Jewish community. That will be done in conjunction with the Arts Council's Traveling Anne Frank exhibit and also collaboration with the Cumberland County Library. One of the things that we host at the museum is a farmer's market on Saturday and Wednesday, and a city market which helps foster new artists that are coming on the scene and giving them some degree of exposure. These have been very successful in terms of promoting the museum as well as providing these citizens with a space to do business. I would really be remiss if I didn't recognize Jim Greathouse and Heidi Bleasy in the back. They are the other two portions of the staff here at the museum, and again, without them, we would not be able to accomplish what we do. And again, our biggest contribution to the community, I think, is through all levels of education. So I want to welcome you here, invite you to go next door. We have two rotating exhibits next door currently. One of them focuses on the bicentennial of the War of 1812. We're within that bicentennial cycle. That exhibit is just Fayetteville-Cumberland County's participation, as well as a sesquicentennial celebration of the Civil War. Again, Fayetteville-Cumberland County's story, which I think you'll find very fascinating. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Tony, for those remarks. Well, we're going to continue our breakfast now, and we will move right into the agenda very shortly. So please enjoy, especially those good grits. My goodness, I need the recipe. All right, thank you. Thank you.
Ken, did you ever hear from Marcia?
Oh, yes, sir.
How's she doing?
She's doing great. She's gotten involved in her fire department in her area out in Stedman and just keeping busy with life, and she's doing well.
Well, that's great.
But we do stay in touch. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
I was on the library board of trustees for 6 years, and
got
to know her real good.
Yes,
then we were dealing, one, with budget issues, and then, two, about the book banning and all that. But she's a drill. She's a jewel.
Oh, absolutely. I feel so. I regret that I never had an opportunity to work directly with her, but I treasure knowing her. I really, really do. I'm going to know you ask about her. I sure will. You're welcome.
Let me give you a card. I know who you are now, and I'm glad I got a face to it.
Very good. Well, you call.
Thank you.
To health services, to mental health services to social services. And when we are told that there is a possibility that we're going to have to eat a big lump from the state because the state is not, is what we call the unfunded mandate. For example, right now, I'm not going to mention what they're getting ready to pass on down to us, but if we have to do that, it will probably be about 3 cents on the tax rate easily, and that's just with the school system. So all of that has gone into this formula, and led to this change in formula that our chairman, Jimmy Keith, felt very strongly that the county should take a lead in. You probably received a little bit of information last November from our previous chair. We passed the misery around, as you know. Who mentioned something about this, which led to this discussion this morning. Marsha Fairclough probably made a statement about it. Then Mr. Keith, when he took office, wrote a letter to all of the mayors telling them, as he said, let me read you a message to me from him. He didn't tell me that I was supposed to do this, but I believe I need to. He regrets that he is not able to attend as chair, but he believes that the county is being responsible in initiating conversation on this issue. We wanted to give enough time for feedback from the municipalities and to have a productive conversation on this complex issue. It should be clear, made clear at every opportunity that no decisions have been made and that we hope that there is an amicable decision made, he says, in the next 60 days. I'm not sure we have 60 days, but in the next couple of months. I hope that upcoming discussions can be beneficial to all local governments. All of this discussion is about providing services to a growing county that deserves these services. All of this discussion. Please know and understand that no decisions have been made. We have our retreat next week. The commissioners have not talked about this at all. We put it on our agenda for the retreat because it was important. It is urgent, along with about 7 other issues. But I'm sure you've read the comments, and we have a very attentive news person who does not let anything slip by, so he has brought it to the attention of the community. And as such, I'm going to have him to come and answer my phone so that I can get some sleep, Andrew. But at this time, I need to have distributed to you the data that I asked the manager to go ahead and prepare for the commissioners, and it was distributed to them earlier. Because one thing we try very hard not to do is to give out information before the commissioners have a chance to at least see it. And I have talked with all of them, and I have told them that I was asking that this be distributed to you today because you don't have another meeting in 2 months, and our retreat is next week, and it's only fair that you have all this data at this time. Now, I'm going to call on... It's Red Day. Take care of your heart. To remind you of your heart, make sure you drink plenty of water. I know you're not looking at that now, you're looking at the figures, but don't forget to take care of your heart. Each one of us has one, and we're glad to have one.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. As the council has indicated, this is the information that has been prepared for the commissioners. The real busy sheet, the one that does not have any red on it, is one that was prepared and sent to the commissioners yesterday. mention and suggested a consideration of increasing the reimbursement from 50% to 60%. So I want to talk just a second about that, but let me go back. I'm getting all over the board, so I apologize. Back in 2003, when the county and actually all other non-annexing municipalities were looking at some substantial revenue losses from sales tax as a result of annexations by federal, the commissioners began to discuss exercising their option to change the distribution formula from per capita to the ad valorem method, which would have allowed the county to regain probably all of its sales tax loss at that time, and probably would have also allowed most municipalities to regain that sales tax loss. But it would have been at a tremendous reduction in sales tax revenue to the city of Taylor. So when that discussion took place, obviously the city at the time was quite concerned about that, as were, I think, a number of the other municipalities. And so as a result of that, there was a compromise reached, which was the county would agree to hold the distribution method the same for the duration of that agreement. And it was initially for 3 years, beginning July 1st of 2004, I think this was the right time. An initial term with the provision that could be extended to two additional terms, two additional periods under the same terms, which have been now about to expire on June 30th of 2014. So at the time, the city shared some of the gain that it received from sales tax distribution back with the county and with all other municipalities, because the truth of the matter is, if any single municipality does an annexation, then county government and all other municipalities suffer a revenue loss from your share, from your prior share of the sales tax distribution. And so that's what this whole issue is about. The agreement with all of you is about to expire. We think that we ought to have an opportunity for you to have a discussion about that among yourselves, as well as ultimately with addressing the county commissioners, if you choose that you would like to do that. So the first sheet, the business sheet, shows in the right-hand column, over on the left side, payable payments to, and you see the county and your municipality there. If there is a payment that federal makes to you, it would be, if there's a payment that any of you, there's a payment that Fayetteville would make to the county and any of you, these are the amounts on the right-hand side. Eastover payments to, because remember, this is a mutual agreement that anyone who annexes, any municipality that annexes, reimburses the county and all other municipalities 50% of the share of the loss. Now, I will tell you that there are some exceptions to that agreement with the city of Fayetteville and with the town of Spring Lake, and it revolved around the annexation of Fort Bragg and Pope Air Force Base. And the county's position on that was to held harmless at 100%, and I think that applies to the municipalities as far as I know as well. It does not. Okay, just to the county. Okay. But anyway, that's sort of a side issue of that. But you can see these numbers. We can answer some questions. I've got Amy Cannon, Howard Abner. They both are numbers experts on this. Lisa Smith here with the city side. I know she's done a tremendous amount of work also from the city side. And so if there are questions, we can do those briefly now, or I'll move on to the net result sheet, and this sheet has some red numbers on it. Left-hand side. that set of assumptions is actually the actual sales tax that was received by the county and all of you for the year ending June 30th, 2012. So based on what we have historically gotten for a 1 year period, then this would be the impact. If the funding allocation happened to be changed from population to the ad valorem levy, and I'll be glad to call on some people who know more than I do and who can answer questions for you if there are questions. If not, we'll be glad to answer questions at any time. As Stock Council said, let me just reiterate. County commissioners have had no formal discussion about any of this. My guess is there may be some who may not have even had a chance to open their messages from yesterday to see the real busy sheet that we've just given here. These are what we believe to be the factual numbers as it would relate to different scenarios.
Is this what you're recommending for your board to do, is to go to that form?
I have not gone to a recommendation at this point, no.
James, what's the county trying to achieve here? I mean, what's the end result?
Well, a number of things. The county, as well as all of you, actually, under certain options that you have, stand to pretty much be held harmless with where you are financially and have been financially with sales, with respect to your individual sales tax, if certain things happen. If those certain things don't happen and other decisions are made, then depending on decisions you may make, then the county is hurt tremendously in terms of reductions in sales tax revenue, depending on one set of actions that you all can take. And the other method, if that should happen and the commissioner should decide, if you should say to us, we aren't interested in renewing these agreements, then the commissioners are going to be in a position of having to say, and let's look a minute, at if you look at the column that's headed, it's the one with the red number at the third, in the third column, $6,199,000, general fund. If this group, if you collectively say, no, we aren't interested in renewing this agreement anymore because in case of Fayetteville's numbers, I think the number here correct is Howard, is $6,199,000, that suddenly the city could gain by not agreeing to renew the agreement, and the county would automatically lose. If all of you collectively decide you don't want to renew this, then the county's ultimate loss, how would you tell me what that number is? Is it $6,199 total?
That's
okay. What would it be then for all the others?
Across the top, the East Over payment of $164,000, $301,000 from Spring Lake, Godwin $2,000.
Okay. Anyway, so there would be some major consternation in terms of the commissioners dealing with their budget. That's an option that the municipalities have. You can tell us, no, this is in line that we've done this for 9 years. We're not interested in it anymore. That's an option you can certainly make. The consequence of that is the county automatically loses about $6.2 million in sales tax revenue that has been received through the reimbursement agreement of 50% of the loss. With one exception, now let me tell you, the city of Fayetteville's number is the largest number, obviously, of anybody's number. But there are three factors that go into that. One is an agreement from some prior annexations that involves, I think, about $2 million of the $6 million. There's the agreement about 100% reimbursement for Fort Bragg Spring Lakes annexation, which is more recent. And then the third component would be the actual amount, which would be the part that would be subject to an increase from 50 to 60%, which is a much smaller amount. And that number, Howard, we've looked at that yesterday. It's in your business sheet. I can't figure it out real quick. What's that number, Howard? to prevent a loss of $6.2 million, I think the commission would be forced to strongly consider exercising their decision to change the allocation method, which impact would then be the numbers on the right side of the net result sheet as it affects you. So obviously there are some implications and some actions here that we need to sort of work on together, I think, in terms of how can we all, in essence, be held harmless pretty much with where we are today, if that's the interest of the bodies. But again, it's a decision of everybody. I will tell you that I think it's going to be extremely important to the commissioners that all the municipalities be together in terms of whatever you all have decided. Just that.
I wasn't here then, as many people were in your current positions, so I'm going to do what my lawyers always tell you not to do, is ask a question you don't know the answer to. But you were there, and could you shed some light on the conversation about whether this type of sharing arrangement is anticipated to be a transitional type arrangement or a permanent type arrangement? It did have a three years with two 3-year renewals, and now we're at the end of that. To my way of looking at that looks like it wasn't anticipated to be permanent, but I wasn't.
I think predominantly it was, from my standpoint, I think I saw it as something that hopefully could be renewed going forward after the expiration of the 9 year. Certainly is something that I think we have an option to do. And when you look at the consequences, I think a good part of what we were trying to do was delay for a reasonable period of time some major financial consequences. That's really what we were trying to do. And that action was clearly a compromise on the part of the commission because they could have made the decision to change the formula. City would have been hurt worse, I think, worse than it would have gained from any of the annexation, and the county would have benefited substantially from that decision. And so it was basically one of which the city and municipalities said, we'll share some of this if in this case it was all, as I said, it was all being driven by a major annexation with the city at the time. But also everybody else is being hurt as well.
Well, you know, I've dealt with this issue in other jurisdictions, and it's always a struggle. The counties do have the choice, and you know, every community has their own sort of way of balancing this. I guess what strikes me about our situation is that Fayetteville was extraordinarily restricted from annexation, as we all know. So to kind of make that correction, to make what is urban municipal, required this unfortunate sudden thing. And I think a reasonable question at the time is to how can we transition and not have sudden large revenue impacts. So it makes some sense to me that some form of mitigation was put in place. What I would wonder is, after a period of nearly 10 years, the city's needs are significant to serve all these residents. And to just renew things on the same basis going forward, then what that does is it locks Fayetteville uniquely to putting money into the pot that gets redistributed to solve this problem. And then that's not really fair to Fayetteville. I think Fayetteville, for 9 years, said our money that would otherwise be our money will be used to balance this equation. And what I wonder is if we can kind of clean the slate and come up with something new so it's not all Fayetteville's side of the coin being put into the pot. There's just a tremendous, I certainly appreciate what the vice chair said, F's absolutely, we feel her pain, the commission's pain, your pain, James, with the struggles we all have to balance budgets and deal with what comes out of Raleigh and those limitations. The city council, city staff, don't have our own side of that equation. There are many, many unmet needs in our annexation areas, particularly in terms of capital needs, infrastructure. Those neighborhoods that were annexed were, as I've said before, underbuilt. And in those residents that have property that holds value, we need to go reinvest in those neighborhoods and put in the things that make them hold their value. And that benefits all of us, because then the tax rate and the property values will stabilize. So that's a real important thing for us. And so trying to figure out how we can avoid locking in Fayetteville, just putting all the money in the pot and think that's going to carry us forever. And make note that one thing that James, I think you alluded to, there's a couple million that are in there off the top. I mean, we get no money from the annexation of Fort Bragg at all. And I get that. I mean, we aren't really providing a lot of direct services to them because they have their own services. So that's, we shouldn't forget that we haven't asked that to be in the pot. But hey, if we're going to have to be locked into a permanent contribution of this magnitude, maybe we should strike a different balance with Cumberland County and give us that money to offset the other money that's going in to help everybody, something like that. I think there's some opportunities to look at rebalancing the situation. It's kind of what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying. Let me remind everyone of this, which I should have done earlier. With the annexation by one municipality, and based on the per capita distribution of sales tax, with the act of an annexation, it automatically takes the population out of prior to annexation arrangement, which in essence would be in the county, and removes that population from Cumberland County's share of sales tax to the municipality's share of sales tax, which then affects the equation for all other, the county and all other non-annexing municipalities. So the point that I would raise, Ted, in response to what you said, and I hear what you say, and I don't disagree with what you're saying, but there's a county side to that piece. The county side to that, as well as it is to all other municipalities, and that piece is the county is able to reduce its cost minimally, if at all, as a result of a city, of any municipality accomplishing an annexation. Now, if you were to do enough that you could do away totally with a few sheriff's deputies and law enforcement people, because clearly that duty primarily does change. But remember, all of you remember, the sheriff's department has patrol zones that can cover 40 or 50 square miles. It may be 30 square miles. I don't need to be giving you an exact number. So if any of you do an annexation, you're going to start providing law enforcement there. We'll probably stop providing law enforcement there, but it doesn't allow us to do any major reduction in any of our costs. Now, building inspections would be another area. But those are not substantial reductions in our cost, whereas we're losing substantial money as a result of annexation. And so, and in your cases, other municipalities' case, you're losing money, and it doesn't decrease your cost a penny. So I think that's a part of this whole piece that was probably more evident at the time that all these other decisions were being made in 2000. And the freshness of some impending major reductions in that. So I've said more than I know already, but are there other questions? Yes, John.
I'm probably going to make myself look ignorant, but I want to make sure I understand the spreadsheet, the Milton's little spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
The first column, the change to ad valorem distribution, that is what you gain. Is that correct?
If it's black, it's what you gain. If it's red, it's what you lose.
So in the end, the net change, not looking at recreation and all that, the county would gain an additional $2.2 million.
Yes.
Roughly.
Yes.
All right. If we go back over to the other spreadsheet, if I'm looking at this right, if we went to the 60% method, keeping everything else in the agreement the same, then your net increase looks like it's the 430 and the 32, the roughly $470,000, somewhere there.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, whatever that number does.
Am I looking at, I guess I want to make sure I'm looking at right. So I guess my question is, setting aside politics, what would be the reason that's a big gap between $2 million and $400,000 and what you think?
Why would we not gain all we could?
Right.
Because if we don't, it's going to be because of the impact that we recognize will have on the U.S. spouse. I think. And
not only
the vote. That's a more political question, I guess, might I need for the council to give her an answer to that. Why would the county not take advantage of a $2 million gain and make it this distribution?
I was there. Okay, I was there at the time when the agreement came into effect. There was never, never, never any intention on the part of the county to try to squeeze any municipality. Never. And there's not now. In fact, we could use all of this to fill one whole possible hole that we have right now, one gap. But the commissioners, and I don't think it's changed, I think there's a majority of commissioners to do the worst case scenario ever. Our chairman said that he would be willing, if you want to have, and I wonder whether or not we should do this, to me the intent was to give you as much data as we could at this time, so you would have time to think about it, to study it, and ask possibly whether or not, I don't know whether we need another big meeting or whether we need smaller meetings, but we would be open at any time to discuss it. But I would prefer, Mr. Manager, that we also let the commissioners see this.
That sheet they got. If they know they got it, I don't know if they know they got it.
You're talking about yesterday?
Yeah, this sheet got it. This one a day or two ago. None of this, I can tell you, I wouldn't expect any of them to have any real sense of what's on any of this sheet. You're right now more informed than the county commissioner,
right.
Which I regret that that's the case.
I had it. I have some of it. We are going to discuss it. The retreat is open if anybody wants to come. I know you have questions. I was there.
Well, I just have one big question. We can kind of cut to the chairman on this. Is it the county's position that it's a municipality that we're being asked to actually share more of their revenue with them than we were before? If the municipality does not agree to that, then the county said we'll convert to ad valorem. Is that kind of the bottom line of all this?
You got one letter from one commissioner.
Ma'am?
You got one letter from one commissioner, Mr. Mayor.
He's the chairman, the mayor.
He has one vote, sir.
He has
one vote, sir.
I asked a question, and here's just poor clarification on that.
Yeah, I know. And I probably shouldn't have said that, but that's the way I feel.
Well, I don't want someone to answer it. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I just want to know what we're dealing with so we can just deal with reality here.
We
it's
could
a very powerful
that.
Tool that you have to convert to ad valorem. We respect that. You have the right to do that. Let's just kind of say it if that's what it is.
We could have done that 12 years ago, and there's three of us still on there who were there, and that has not. We had the chairman to send this letter. The chair sent this letter in all good faith. We got a copy of it, I think, the same time you did. And,
I guess what I'm seeing here is that there's still some work that needs to be done on the part of the county before we as the municipalities really take up the decision making that needs to I think it's in the municipalities. But what I'm hearing though is that there's still commissioners who are they're still not as informed.
making a more informed decision. Like Alan said, we know what position municipalities want to take about renewal. We don't know where we are. I mean, all we know is if with a lack of renewal, we're looking at a $6.2 million gap in our budget. If that happens, that's going to force another action, which is going to be more detrimental to municipalities than to renew what's currently in place. So that's why I said, I didn't mean to step on anybody, but I think it's really in the municipalities' court, because the chairman's asked for responses from municipalities by March 25th.
And I apologize, I didn't mean to ask you a political question. I was trying to make
sure. No, I don't have a problem with your question.
Here's the other part of the question. When I read the letter that went to the mayor, I didn't realize, I looked at it as here's an offer.
Correct.
And
exactly.
I thought that was a total
offer,
and I did not know that. So when I look at this now, I'm thinking, well, of course, from Hope Mill's standpoint, we don't want to change apple warmer because we lose approximately 9 to 10 cents equivalent tax rate. But by saying that, the flip side of that is, then I feel like I'm held hostage in how I support the other municipalities, because I'm saying the Fed or whoever, if I don't look at how to change this, and if our board does it, tough luck, we need to stay like we are. I guess it's just an awkward, the way it's come out is an awkward thing that's going on in the
right side. You know, I would say this, is that, again, when the letter was received, you know, again, I'm under the impression that the commissioners have already conferred, they've already come up with this agreement, and now we want to see what the municipalities think about. But what we get now is that the chairman, again, if you send out something on the letterhead of the chairman, then I'm under the impression that everyone has talked. And so what is happening is that there's one commissioner who's sent out to see what we're thinking, while you have other commissioners who may go along with this, may not go along with this, and it puts the county not in a good light. And so I would say that, you know, there has to be, I would like to get a consensus from the county so that we know what their stance is before then we as municipalities can then come to them and then we can work together, you know, to go in a specific direction. But what we don't want is that we come up with a direction, but then you don't have all your commissioners on board, and it kind of just puts it all. They need to walk in lockstep, and then we can come back together and come up with what would be the best direction for the municipalities and then for the county.
There's sort of a cycle here. What you decide collectively is going to impact what actions the commissioners decide. The actions the commissioners decide, I think I'm hearing from you, is going to perhaps dictate what you may choose. What I'm saying is, I think the opportunity here is for the municipalities to come forth to the commissioners with your interest in renewing the current agreement, if that's the case. If it's not the case, then I think then that sort of opens the commissioner to make a more free-flowing decision with sort of the municipalities perhaps on board with that decision.
James, I think it also be a good time for us to really look in fine detail at what the true impact of annexations are, because the city assumes a lot of those services requirements, but I think sometimes we lose the fact that everybody that lives in these municipalities are county taxpayers too, and I think sometimes that gets lost, and I'll say it even at the county level, we kind of almost sort of take it for granted that those cities are providing those services that otherwise the county would have to provide. So I think it's a good opportunity for us to look at the whole gamut of how annexation impacts.
I think that's fine. I would just remind you, the commissioners and the chairman has asked, and I think this probably would have support for the full board, or certainly regard the board, that municipalities collectively notify the county by March 25th, because during the month of April, it was the first Monday in April or the third Monday in April, the commissioners are going to have to make a decision on whether they are going to agree. And I don't think they want to make this decision in a vacuum. And I think that's the reason the chairman sent the letter that he sent, was to sort of give you some time to start thinking. But the commissioners, I don't really want to make the decision in a vacuum about whether they want to, which way they want to go. They want to know what your interest is. And obviously, all of you and your citizens are county residents as well. So Time is of the essence.
Well, I think, too, we don't have opportunities, so we haven't, the opportunities that we have, we don't sit down and discuss things like this. So I think as mayors, and we're going to have to get together, and not in this type of a setting, but a working setting, so that we can kind of put our heads together and put our town managers with us. Because I would believe we can't be informed and make good decisions, because what Hope Mills may decide, it might be that if I could sit down and talk to Mayor Ray, we might have some better ideas by putting us together. And I'm thinking possibly as mayors, we might need to schedule something for us, a working schedule, a retreat, so to speak, so that we could kind of come up with some ideas too.
We'll do that.
That's what I wanted to get to you, but I didn't.
I would support that. Just a couple of notions as we think about it. You might sort of call for a rebalancing of this. A couple of thoughts. So, the council and I have not talked about solutions. We just very briefly try to understand what the impacts are. But so, for example, if we rebalance some things, it might benefit Fayetteville if we looked at not renewing, but setting something up so that the municipalities were held harmless. We Fayetteville could be, because we've got the most money on the table, kind of locked in from this annexation impact, you know, prevention plan that we did. We could put some money into make the other municipalities, you know, hold them harmless, but still have a net gain. And so that might be something we're talking about. Now, that's not necessarily in the interest of the county, or it could be, you know, if we do some other things. So that's the kind of thing that might be interesting to talk about. Another thought, just to put on the table, no one's authorized to represent anybody right now that I know of, because nobody's had full meetings with their boards. But I think in the interest of trying to get somewhere positive, I'll say it again, I know the county's in the jam, and you know, we got to work on this. We want to have a good solution for everybody. This might be slightly outrageous, but hear me out for just discussions. I mean, if the county did switch to the ad valorem method, you get more money than you really are asking for. So, you know, trying to rebalance, almost like a revaluer, you got to readjust the tax rate. So one thought, when you consider adjusting the county rate down to get the money you say you need now, because you get excess revenue from moving ad valorem, then that gives all the municipalities the opportunity to say, okay, now we're going to adjust our rate to rebalance it, and then the taxpayers are communicated. You got to have to communicate a lot with the taxpayers in that one to say, we're adjusting the county and the town rates to give you a net no change to your bill, but we got to do some shifting. Now, that's a little more complicated, but I'm just throwing it out there. You know, we got to be creative to come up with something. I just don't like the notion of locking in Fayetteville, sort of punishing us for the big bang, which, you know, that's political history, and we got to move beyond it. Thank you.
To me, all of this has been, but now is not the time. To me, okay?
I got a question. How is this going to affect us if the general assembly does the total sales tax revenue?
Mm. I don't think anybody has to think.
Yeah. I mean, would we be back right here again doing the same thing? I mean,
I think the issue would be whether or not there's some impact on what state or local option sales taxes is what we're talking about again. But this only involves the 2 cents or whatever it is that's local option sales tax, the covering county portion of the total sales tax. So if the state does something else, I don't know that it would necessarily impact local option sales tax, but it very well could.
Our last comment here, Councilman Applewhite.
Yes, and I do. If you think about annexation, kind of sort of got into a situation, since we're throwing that idea of the tax, it would be a possibility that the county, the city's payment to the county could be reduced if we use some of that money to extend services that we're allowed to develop that in the annex, because that's a big chunk of our budget now, trying to extend water into a, you know, that's a problem, particularly in Western Fayetteville and the Western side, but, you know, perhaps that's something that we can all consider.
do whatever we can to make sure that we work on behalf of the citizens of Cumberland County. But what I did get out of the whole thing, especially from Mayor Warner, is that we may want to look at scheduling a work session with the mayor and the town managers, maybe after going back to our council and having some discussions with them, and then coming together within the next maybe month or so, once we look at our schedules, to kind of sit down to see where we are so that we can meet the deadline for the county with a response by April 25th.
March 25th.
So your working groups are able. All right, we'll try to get together hopefully within the next few weeks so that we can meet that deadline. I think this is going to be very important for us moving forward. Moving next to the agenda, we have the demandaplan.org. Mayor Deborah Bowers.
Yes, I just wanted to make you all aware of an organization that was begun back in 2006 by Mayor Michael Bloomberg and an organization of 15 mayors. The purpose, of course, was to end gun violence. The organization called Mayors Against Illegal Guns was formed, and it advocates a common sense agenda, making it harder for dangerous people to buy guns and easier for police and prosecutors to stop them. Today, this coalition of mayors numbers over 800, and the supporters of Demand a Plan is in excess of 1 million. The 3 points that they agree on is that the requirement of every gun buyer to pass a criminal background check, number two, to get the military-style assault weapons and high-capacity magazines off our streets, and number three, to make gun trafficking a federal crime. I mainly wanted to make you aware of the organization. You can go on the internet and speak with these people. I was curious as to whether our organization might be interested in becoming members, either on an individual basis, or whether we nine mayors might agree on the 3 points of this agenda and possibly write a resolution from the Cumberland County Mayor's Committee.
Council, you don't know the members of my council,
sometimes it's good to know individuals and breaking bread together as we look at some of the challenges that we face. And you know, when we start talking about regional transportation or some of the other issues that I really believe that as a council we should be discussing, there may be reasons why certain municipalities don't want some of the challenges, some of the infrastructure projects that we talk about. Well, why is that? You learn that by sitting down and talking with individuals. But I think it would be great for us to come together, all our councils, have a big potluck or get a big dinner. I don't know what the plan would be, but I want us to start working towards that vein and us having an opportunity where all our councils get together and we break bread together. That gives us an opportunity to get to know one another. And when we come back together as mayors, or if there's specific presentations that need to be made in front of certain councils, I'm not all of a sudden now I'm not in front of a group of people that I don't know. And I think it makes a difference. It really makes a difference because in our politics today, people just don't want to work together. And that's at every level. And I don't want that to be how it is here in our county. And I want us to at least, as mayors, take a conscious effort to try to come together. And I believe that that's with us bringing our councils together, learning about one another, and hopefully hashing some things out and helping not only just our county, but helping out our region. So in the next couple of weeks, I will be sending out, and we'll again communicate with the mayors to see how we can hash this out, what venue is big enough to have all our folks there, who's going to be responsible for what. There's going to be a lot of moving parts to it, but it can happen. And I think it would be good for our county, it would be good for our government, and individuals, when you talk about being an example to other regions, and hopefully then we're looking what we need to do to work together. So please look forward to that information. With that being said, quick open discussion, any comments from our various members? Let's start with
Steve. Yeah. I've been a county commissioner, I've been a city mayor, city council, town council, all that. There's one thing about it. When you meet the service need, if you take it out of one pot, you got to put it in from another, so it's going to cost the taxpayers either way. If you change, it's going to increase the tax rate one way or another. If you change form of
trying
to meet the needs
that are.
So anyway, we need to
sit
down and talk about it.
All right. Well, I think it would be an
excellent idea for us all to get
together and hear each other. Comments? Any closing comments? I was going to say early, and I'll say now. Discussion that has been talked about already. I can remember several meetings that we was in discussing this same situation about the taxes and how it would be distributed. It's a good idea that we sit down, and I think the mayor from Pope Fields had made mention about the mayor and the manager from each municipality meet with the county, sit down and discuss, and we hear one another out and go from there. But I know this is a short time scale. This is doing this, but it's very important. I won't ever forget when this first got started, and I'm not going to bring up how things went, but it did happen. From there to where we are now. So working together, it can be done and work out peaceful for everybody.
Yes, I'm concur with him. I'd like to have a meeting with the municipality mayors and to discuss this. It'll impact our little part of the world, right? So I'm all for that. And thank you for your leadership efforts in getting us together as a team. That's very admirable, and I appreciate that. I think it would be very fruitful for our endeavors.
I concur with your comment on his leadership, and I appreciate that as well. Things in Godwin are quiet, going quite well. We are very blessed that we were able to pay off our 20 years early, and we're able to save our few taxpayers about $50,000. I know in your realm that does not sound like a lot, but that is a tremendous amount of money for the town of Dyben. And I'm very pleased today to have Commissioner Willie Burnett with me, who serves as Commissioner for the town of Dyben and has been serving for several terms. And I'm just real proud to have him here with me.
We have a our town board meeting Monday night, which we'll take back and give an update to them. And most of us will have a meeting probably within the next 2 weeks. And what I would offer is that I would be more than happy to host the meeting in Hood Mills, and we could schedule that possibly say midway of the month. We might want to pick the day that was most convenient for the mayors and town managers, but I'm just thinking that we need to probably go ahead and meet and sit down and have that conversation, and then move with some kind of action so our commissioners will know, you know, how we feel. So I will more than happy to host it, and we'll provide a great witness, whatever. But just make sure you, and I'm thinking if we schedule it at our upcoming meetings, because we were just talking about giving an update to the commissioners on Monday night in Hope Mills. So that, you know, that would give us a sort of a time frame, and we wouldn't just be saying we were going to meet, but kind of look at it as a definite time.
Fantastic. Yeah, on a lighter note, Doc, East Over dropped the plate. I think we need to get together. We got a lot of forethought to do, but and I appreciate your leadership, Chris.
Okay, thank you. I get everybody.
Everybody one else wants to say anything.
Chris,
yes, sir. I was just recently at a meeting with the military communities in San Antonio, and one of the interesting concepts that came out of that, first of all, is that they're looking for more partnerships between military communities and their municipalities that are next to them. And pretty much everything's going to be on the table to be looked at for shared services, which could help our communities as well. But the other thing that came out of that was the issue of public-public partnership. We always talk about public-private, but there's possibilities for public-public partnership where you were talking about us all getting together. Mm-hmm. And that's a case of where we might be long on something that you're short on, and you may have something that we're short on, where we can benefit one another and be more efficient and still save our taxpayers. So getting all of us together for that kind of conversation might be a helpful thing. And to look to where we can help each other's community. Too often we focus right in here, but what we do in Fayetteville impacts you. What you do impacts us. And there's a way that we can use those as positives rather than negatives. And so that's something to look forward to.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that. And that's very, very critical. Hopefully during this year, the mayors will, that will be our mantra moving forward, of us working together for our county, for our region, for our citizens. And I look forward to that. So with that being all said, I'd like to get a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
Second.
Actually had at one time six of their members there.
Really? And I think Eastover had their whole town council there. But it was, other than that, it was the mayors and the managers. And it was just a very lively discussion.
Why is it different than anything that
Jeanette was very uncomfortable at one point. I think she's pretty upset about the entire thing. Although, you know, there was this discussion about going back to ad valorem versus population rate and, you know, basis, and it was just active. And but I will say one of the things that came through is the mayor's, a couple of them did say, well, with this coming out to us on the county commissioner's letterhead from the chair, we thought the Board of Commissioners had already discussed this and this was their stand. And Jeanette basically said, this went out by the chairman, the Board of Commissioners found out about it at the same time you did.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she had to drive the point home.
Right.
So, at the retreat next Thursday, I mentioned to to Amy and Sally, they may want to have some discussion with James about possibly moving that sales tax issue up to the first item.
Right.
We'll probably have a lot of people attending. And they're going to talk about that. I don't know whether they'll do it or not.
Okay.
But again, I'm going to have you do the minutes because I'm going to have to make notes along with Sally on basically actions and some of the other high points, which will be a different type of note-taking than for the minutes. I do think in the long run, though, this was probably a good idea. It's good that this meeting was held and this item was discussed. Because as it was openly stated in the meeting, it's getting the cities to get together, the municipalities to get together with their mayors and managers and talk about this.
Yes.
Whereas otherwise there might not have been a whole lot of activity prior to the point where the board needs to make a decision.
Right. Okay. So, wow. Oh,
that was
interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
I'm interested to see what comes out in the paper or in the news about
Was Jay Phillips there? No, Andrew Barksdale was there. And then Amanda Weber was 14.
And Jeanette, she got durable.
Well, as usual, she did very, very well. I mean, she always does. I think she was upset that Jane tried to review those spreadsheets instead of Amy. But
gotcha.
I mean, she
so did
James and Amy and Howard and Sally and me.
Okay. Got it.
And then Brenda Barber was there. She said, tell you hello.
Did she? I don't know what she
means. Oh, she's the sweetest person. I don't know. Listen, I brought you. You want a couple of hand biscuits?
Yeah. I ate something, but I still can't eat anything. Oh, yeah. Oh, one of those. That's okay.
Well, you can take a couple on here.
Well, I'll probably only have one
of
them. One. I'm already ate.
Take what you want, or if you want to get something, scoop up some of those cheese biscuits.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, everybody.
So it was at the
museum annex, which is a very interesting place. They've got stuff I used to see my father and my grandfather use when I was a tiny little girl, as far as Motorola and the dipstick for oil and just
They have stuff out.
And they had an old Plymouth there. And of course, my granddad, God love him, was a Plymouth fan. I mean, the bigger the fins on the back of that car, the happier he was.
Well, that's cool that you got to see that.
I used to ride around with him in Jacksonville, Florida, and
you got your
old Plymouth. Yeah.
That's funny. When I was driving around with my dad in the truck, and I thought it was so cool with the windows down. That's around there. Anything else?
No, but if you don't have anything with me to share with me,
any
of the commissioners call or anything?
No,
well, good.
No commissioners have called. No one come in. I don't.
Okay, well, that's good.
And I'm working on finishing Jeanette's travel right now for our meeting in the morning. And there's no signing sheet. I want to check the agenda to make sure we don't have any public hearings for Monday morning. We shouldn't.
Oh, no, we shouldn't, but I need to start working on my stuff this morning when I can get settled in, that my action agenda and start setting up my minutes.
That's what I'm
saying. Okay, well, we'll start working towards Monday then. Okay, Kelly.